Hey, hello, anybody hear me out there?
City. Is there anything you could suggest that would help in in from the city standpoint, in coordinating a tournament of this magnitude, I noticed that you guys never got the trailer park set up that you were
in. No, he did. He did.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, no, some used it, but a lot of them used the drive-up approach to the sidewalks where they access the sidewalks.
Okay, the day that I went by on Saturday late in the evening, there wasn't a trailer park there.
Really? And there was
over in the gravel lot.
Yeah, there was Lions like Park. Two or three. That Friday morning.
It would have been if we could have had that more accessible and more available. Would that help?
Yeah.
What
that,
else?
That piece is going to be a big factor for the city until they can get hotels coming in. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think you got that big swim meet coming up next year, next July. And you don't want all those people to leave either. That's a huge one. That I think what a city gets it once every 5 or 7 years or something like that. Yeah. So, and it's like 10 days. So I would definitely explore the avenues of how to make that more accessible, especially going into that time frame. Really, I mean, for us, it's the old fight. It's like, it's an adult softball tournament. You know, it's like anything. Everybody that has kids, you tell your kids no, and they go and do it, right? I tell them, hey, man, you can't drink in the park. Lo and behold, I see somebody walking by with a beer, you know? I'm an adult. They're an adult. I'm not their dad. You know, they know the rules. They know the consequences. I felt it was pretty solid the whole weekend. We had good representation from the OPD. I mean, like the two that were there a long time on Saturday, I think it was Marty and Cox. Man, they were troopers. Like they were, you know, towards the end, I think they were just helping, you know, to be honest with you. I didn't feel like there was ever a situation that was like even remotely a problem, and I know there's a big RCW in that park, but once you fence that section off, Chris, it changed the dynamics of that, where it's a controllable situation. And just food for thought, I really would look at that for future use, whether it's my event or somebody else's event. Because where it's all gated, you can control it. I mean, it's pretty easy. If you're allowed to drink within the fence, you know, limits, well, if we have patrolled officers at the gates, then it's pretty easy to control, right? You're on one side of it, you're wrong. You're on this side of it, you're right. So I don't know if that's even an option. You know, that RCW was written, I mean, a long time ago. There's not one person on this board or this council that was even remotely even thinking about being here. So, you know,
I was just looking for ways that we could help to support, you know, your tournament and other tournaments in the future. And like you said, the swim meet that's coming up.
That is a big one. I really would concentrate as a city to roll out the red carpet and try and get those people to stay here somehow. That's a big one for the city, because that will bring a lot of people. It's Champs. It's called Champs, right? Is that what it's called? Yeah, something like that. But like I said, and I didn't mean to get long-winded, but on that thing, that's a moneymaker too for the city. City can generate revenue if they enclose that thing and just sell like bracelets. And it's easy. I think you could monitor it better.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to roll call. Angel, you want to say you're here?
I am here.
Another citizen.
There's another citizen.
Oh, you? All right. Hang on. All right, go ahead and approach. Give your name and your address, please.
Yes, I'm Jake Mendez, Jr., 525 Ysida Boulevard. I'm an activist and an ACLU Washington member. I also want to thank the Public Works for their efforts of finishing up the park, even though it's not fully completed. But I just want to thank Public Works in advance. I've noticed the basketball courts are bigger I hope that in the future that more people with disabilities, especially people in wheelchairs, could have access to that park, and especially the Kiwanis Park as well. I just envision that, you know, someday that most children and adults, people with wheelchairs and people with canes and walkers, could have full access to those parks, and the vendors as well. I noticed they have that strip right there along the trees. That right there is what's needed. So that way they could actually have access to the vendors as well, and also access to the restrooms, instead of having to go all the way around through that whole entire loop to get to the restrooms. I know some with electric wheelchairs, they could probably cut across the grass, but which could be difficult with a lot of people there, especially at big events. So if they can just be shortcuts to access those restrooms as well. They have updated restrooms. I haven't seen the restrooms for, I don't know, I would say the last 8-9 years. So I don't know what it looks like inside as of right now. It looks pretty dim. The urinals, the horse trough tub urinals looks very outdated. I don't know if there's going to be any accessible restroom stalls for those with wheelchairs in that main restroom that's along the trees of the baseball field. Secondly, I've noticed Kiwanis Park has access to disability as well on the foreign parking lot. But I'm not too sure of the main restroom that's right next to the playground area. That too, I released a video footage of that, of the current state that it is right now. And it does look very terrible. There's a lot of disgusting marks all over the floor, the walls, the urinals. I'm not sure if that's going to be upgraded as well, along with the current restrooms that are in the far end of the parking lot. However, I am concerned as far as wheelchairs being accessed to that main restroom. If there's any pathways that could lead up and a rail that could lead up to that restroom, instead of just having a solid flat grounding or cement. So this way people with walkers and wheelchairs could have a rail that could to help them get to those restrooms. And stalls and cement ways on both the men's and women's restrooms. That's all I got. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
On that, the consent agenda, except the RCO contracts for Kiwanis Park, deals with a lot of what you had just said. So that's something that I believe we'll be approving tonight. So there's... there is over $1 million that's going into Kiwanis Park. So,
and when Lions Park is done, it's going to be the most interactive park in the state for all types of handicapped people. Okay, moving on. Item E, roll call. Angel, you want to speak first? Are you here?
Yes, I'm here today.
Okay.
Good night.
And we have everybody else here except for the mayor. So do we need to excuse the mayor? Moving on to approval of the agenda for tonight.
I'll make the motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, moving on to item 3, consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, moving on to current business. Item A, set a date to consider Sand Hill Estates comprehensive plan amendment rezoning. I think, Ann, this is yours.
Hey, John, I don't think I have to recuse myself of this one because it's mainly to set a date, right?
Yep, we're just setting a date. We're not making a motion.
Okay.
Acting on that, on you're just yep. setting the date. So I did give you a lot of information. I wanted you to kind of be aware that this was coming, but all I'm asking for tonight is that to set a public hearing date. So just quick summary. So this is both a request for a comprehensive plan amendment because the designation is in the comprehensive plan, and also a rezone at the same time because the rezone follows the designation amendment.
Okay, so, now reading through this, the Planning Commission's already had a public hearing on it.
Correct.
And so the Planning Commission is sent these recommendations to the council. We're going to set a date to have a public hearing on these issues.
Correct.
All right. When would be the soonest available time, Yvonne, that we could do that?
So September 25th is the soonest that we can do the notifications.
Okay. Well, is there a consensus with the council that would be a good time to do this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the consensus is that we'll do it on the 25th of September.
As public hearings we have.
Okay. Item B, resolution of approved LPM grant. Sarah?
It's on. So this is an application for parks and maintenance, a parks and maintenance grant. More dealing with a facility like backlogs, equipment, and just keep parks and recreation going. With talking with Public Works and the mayor, they have come to the conclusion that with the added 19 acres of acquiring Tagaris Park, that mowing the lawns and having a mower that can meet the capacity to get those lawns mowed in the time frame, they're requesting that we apply for the grant for that, which the maximum amount is $100,000. We have gotten a quote. It's about $167,000. That does not have the discount that we get, which with state contracts and stuff on it. So as of right now, I can say the city match would be $67,000. But as far as with the discounts, I don't know those at the moment. But with this grant, it does require that you have a resolution for the authorization of the signatures and the people on there for the agreement and the grant as well.
Well, I need a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the attached resolution, applicant resolution authorization related to applying for the local parks maintenance grant.
Second.
So I got, so is there, this is, there's just one quote here. Is there any other mowers that are less than $167,000?
Well, they're the only, that going out to bid, they're the only Sourcewell dealers, and that's the brand that we have in house and use parts and stuff. But it's not to say that we can't, if we did get the grant, we don't get the bid and stuff, right? If the machines had to come up with a dollar.
So we're just approving the request for the grant funds tonight.
Yeah, they're just informing us that if they do receive the grant, that their plan is to purchase a mower, and that would be the reason that they would put on the grant, right? Okay.
And so would this come out of this year's budget?
Wouldn't be awarded until the first part of November. Contract probably wouldn't be done until December or January, so more than likely it would be next year.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, we've had a motion made and a motion second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Moving on to item C, approve an ordinance to amend OMC 9.40 parking. Chief?
So members of the Othello Police Department have responded to parking complaints in the 10 block of East Scutney Street. This block of Scutney Street is between South First Avenue and South Broadway Avenue. You can see the photo there depicts that block that we're talking about. The complaints are about trucks and trailers parking on the street, making it difficult for vehicle traffic to pass by. School buses even in more trouble traveling in this block when truck and trailers are apart. Miriam Shade is on Zoom with the school district that she and also the comments for that. This block is on the truck route, so it is necessary to have it. It's the last block north, heading north on First, so they can get off of First and get down to the South Broadway. The mayor and I support an ordinance change where the parking restriction will be added. Restriction would be added to OMC 9.40.300B for parking restrictions between the hours of 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. to be added. This restriction has been reviewed by council. So, in looking at this area, that East Scutney Street right there is 40 feet wide. As you cross and go to the other part of Scutney Street, it's 56 feet wide. So that 40 foot wide block, just with people parked, when trucks and trailers and even cars that are parked on both sides of it, makes it really difficult, especially for the school buses. And since we have the bus garage way down on South Broadway now, they're going through this block quite a bit. The restrictions are just between 7 and 4. My initial idea with that, that's consistent with the restrictions on Juniper Street, that's across the street from the high school. And so I just try to make them the same. Those strict restrictions would allow that if there are citizens that are living in the area that can move there, you know, park their car after 7 and get it off there before 7 a.m. after 4 p.m. park it, get it off. They could still be parked there, but just during the high traffic areas, you get it when you do that. That being said, it's up for discussion too, is if there should be, if the council feels there shouldn't be any parking there at all. So I went and after writing the memo, continued my investigation, and the parking to the south of Scutney, Wall Loop and those other streets of Royal down there, it's a menagerie of parking signs. Some say no truck parking, some say no parking at all, and all. If we look at OMC, I couldn't find anything in the OMC that says there's just no parking period down that area. They've just been marked that way. So it is kind of confusing at this point. But having the restriction between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. would alleviate problems that I'm identifying, but it's a
Council, do you have any comments?
So I do. I'd like to see that 24/7 no parking down there.
I think I would too.
Yeah, I drive down. I drive between Broadway and First on Scutney at least 5 days a week, and even after 4 o'clock, before 7 o'clock, it's a hassle down there. Those guys, they come in and they park their trucks right on the corners of First and Scutney. They block it up. I've seen cars headed straight towards each other because they're both trying to get around trucks on both sides of the road, and it's a hassle.
Pretty much when there's truck traffic or truck trailers parked on either side, it takes it down to one lane, and that is a main street that people come up Broadway and turn on to come over into the residential area. I was kind of under the impression that was when we had talked about this in committee, that's the direction we were going. But
And I think I would rather see it be restricted from parking.
And that is 100% possible with the change of the motion and directing me to work with Kelly about, and we can draw the OMC reflect that. And that's possible.
So while we're talking about, I don't know if this is appropriate to talk about it now or afterwards, but so after we met last week, the following morning, I was down on Juniper Street and they're parking semis several streets between there and Main Street also. And that's not a truck route.
No,
so that needs to be enforced, as well as down in front of Northwest Farm Supply, the old Dell's building, they're parking semis down there.
That's the last place I wrote a ticket.
And so they're still parking trucks down there. And it's really getting to be a problem. A lot of these trucking companies have decided that they can park their trucks in the city of Othello, anywhere they want in the city of Othello, because I see them in the residential sections too. And then rather than paying for parking, like parking lots or other places to park their semis at night, they're just parking them on the streets. And it's really going to be a problem. But scrutiny is a huge problem. So.
Yeah, I was by there last week, and it is true. If you got trucks on both sides of the road, it's pretty tight to get through there. But on the other hand, I don't know if we want to put a 24-hour restriction. I say we put a 24-hour restriction on one side. My brother owns that shop right there. I think if we had one side for a 15-minute limit, there's trucks that park in his driveway, in his parking lot, trucks that are going through the shop. But there's many trucks that want to stop and make an appointment. If we don't allow at least a 15 minutes so it can be in and out, not a full-time parking like what they're doing now, but allow for some kind of parking to where they can go in the office and schedule something and then leave. We don't do that. We're going to see trucks parked in the middle of Broadway in the turning lane. I've seen them parked there before when this parking lot's full. So what we don't want to do is start kicking people out of town. I know that shop on Scrutiny right there, that Quonset, the owner was already kicked out of town, so he can't park his equipment there. Being an owner and having a trucking outfit and not being able to operate, that's pretty tough. And I do understand, and you are right, both sides of the that of Scrutiny, if trucks do park, I went by there last week, Corey, you're exactly right. It is tight. But we have to allow for some kind of parking, not a 24-hour, 15-minute parking tops. And we notify the owners that are there, or the owner, my brother, and let them know what the situation is. Trucks can't park there, you know, to wait for their service 2, 3, 4 hours or overnight. That'll really put a damper on. I mean, we bought that place back in 1990, and the ordinances have changed ever since. We got kicked out of first. We used to park the trucks there, so I had to buy that shop going down Broadway north of 26, south of 26. So I know we're growing and there's more traffic, but at the same time, we want to work with people that are there and not completely, you know, shut their business down. So I'd say we do some kind of a 15-minute parking and see if that works just on one side of the street.
Any other comments? Well, I have some comments in regard to your suggestion. I don't think anybody would enforce, you know, a traffic violation on somebody that was only making an appointment. What we're worried about, Angel, is they're actually leaving trailers there unattended. So they're parking their trailer there. They're driving in with their tractor and trailer. And if they're having the tractor worked on in the shop, they're unhooking it and leaving the trailer parked along the road. Today, I drove by at 2 o'clock and they're on both sides of the road. There was two unattended trailers and one on the other side of the road unattended completely. And they're potato trucks. And I'm all in favor of not having any parking at all on that street. If somebody's going in there to make an appointment and they're only going to be there for 15 minutes, that's easily handled. But yeah, for them to drop their trailers because they're either having their trailer worked on, but they can't bring it into the yard because the yard's full, or they're having their tractor worked on. I mean, they've got to have somewhere to put their trailer other than on this, park it on the street.
I'm with you 100% there, Don, on that no parking, especially if you're going to, you know, a lot of the trucks that park there, their owners, they own property there in Othello. They have shop. They're not shops, but they park in their house. You know, if they're going to service the truck, leave the trailer at the house. Don't park it right there in Scutney. They do it. They sometimes do it so it'll be, you know, easier for them. But like you said, I'm for no parking. And I don't know what we do. This would be for the chief. If somebody does park there and he's there going to be there 10, 15 minutes and you got a city police goes through there, you know, is he going to stop inside him, or is he going to stop and talk to him and see what's going on? I mean, it's going to be one of these things that we have to educate the owner. We have to let Ricardo know, look at Ricardo, this is what's going on. And he'll understand because he tries to control that as much as he can. The problem that we've had, or he's had, because that's his shop now, I sold it to him. The problem that he's had is that when the other guy on the other side of the property had the Quonset shop, he'd park his trucks facing west, and then Ricardo's customers would come, face east. So, yeah, you know, I'm with Corey 100%. I passed through there last week, and it's bad. It's bad. We don't want that by all means. But once again, I'd like to see what we can do, you know, like you said, John, for somebody that's going to go in there, make an appointment, and zoom out of there and let Ricardo know your customers cannot unhook a trailer if they're going to service a tractor, period. That cannot be done. And if that does happen, if the trailer's sitting out there, well, you cite them. That's how it starts. Once you cite the first one, it's not going to happen again. But I want some kind of I don't know what to use as far as some kind of a give, you know, to where there's some kind of tolerance for that shop there.
Is there any way we could make us whether it's through sign? I know that I've seen signs at places before where it allows for no loading or unloading zone or something.
What's being described here is called standing rather than parking. And standing is an occupied vehicle stopped on a curb where there's no parking. That's why you see some signs say no parking or standing. Mm-hmm. So for someone to keep the vehicle occupied, that's important. And then somebody from the vehicle going to make an appointment, that's not parking.
Okay.
So that's just as what's been described.
So that would still be allowed? Okay.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't have any problem with somebody stopping, running in to make an appointment. But because if you do have no parking on the rest of the street, you're not going to have it being blocked like it is now. But
there need to be a time limit on it.
There needs to be a time limit on it. It would have to be a 10 or 15 minute time limit, and they have to move on. And I don't know if we could do it through paint or through both paint and signage or what, but that I wouldn't have a problem with.
We'd have to kind of search it out to see what kind of signs we'd need for something like that. And I'll talk to my brother tomorrow. I'll tell him what's going on. And he's pretty good. I'm pretty sure he'll starting tomorrow, notifying his customers. I mean, we're here to work with the city, not to be a burden.
The drop on unoccupied trailers,
that's an issue.
What was that again? I didn't hear that.
Dropping the unoccupied trailers is an issue.
No, period. That does not happen on either side of the road.
Yeah.
No, it can't happen.
Yeah. So is this something that you're going to have to take back and bring back to us?
We can modify
it. We can modify it.
Yeah. Modify the motion tonight, okay, if you'd like to do that. And our legal counsel isn't here, but I think we can muster through this. So I think we go with no parking at all. At all. And use discretionary, you know, means for people that are trying to make an appointment. And we have a, you know, we have the chief of police here and he's nodding his head yes. So
well, police officers, they have discretion on that anyway, right?
It's an infraction. So yes, there's a lot of
discretion. So they and we have smart police officers. They know, and they're not a bunch of bullies that want to go out and write everybody in town a citation. So they're gonna.
Yeah, I like that. I think that'll work.
Yeah, we'll work with Ricardo Angel.
Okay.
Any motion that the council direction that we get, there's going to be a time for education. And we're looking for voluntary compliance and stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, we hope we don't have to write a ticket on this. You know, we'll work with everybody around there, all the stakeholders regarding voluntary compliance.
Mm-hmm. You ready for motion?
Yep.
I'll make the motion that a parking restriction be added to OMC 9.40.030B for the 10 block of East Scutney Street where no parking is allowed 24 hours a day.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Move on to item D. Tank turf contract.
Video. There's one simple hearing hack anyone can use to improve their.
What was that?
YouTube ad, Angel.
Evening, Council. Staff has been looking at all these robots for striping for ever since I came on over about a year ago. The Othello School District has one of these, and most school districts in the state of Washington has one of these robots. It saves a lot of labor and time, and it also opens options for several different type of fields. I'm glad, I don't know if you want me to read this or not. City staff's requesting that acquisition of the tank turf to save on labor, materials, and striping athletic fields, parking lots, etc. The turf tank 2 is a robotic field painter designed to mark all types of sports fields easier, faster, and more efficient. You can paint while focusing on other tasks at the time. We did have a demonstration on Tuesday, August 2nd, out at Tagaris Park. These robots can paint an entire football field, all the lines and everything, in half an hour, and it'll paint all of them. And all the graphics are built into it. So you have a base unit, it's GPS, and it uses a different type of paint, which is cheaper than what we use. During like the fall, we're doing these soccer fields. Usually it takes two guys all day, two days a week to keep up on these fields at Tagaris. One guy can operate this while he's picking up garbage or whatever. This automatically will paint whatever field that you have in there. If you need the field to move, well, entire field to move a foot, you can move the base unit a foot and it'll paint it a foot over. So you can rotate those fields for wear. It also they provide the paint. Already this year, we're pushing about $7,000 in paint already for these fields. So half of this price already covers the paint use. They're providing a different type of paint, which it's a water-based paint that is a concentrate, so you add water to it. It also provides us the ability to do lettering graphics. It can be used other uses, like for instance, we're gonna be pouring picnic shelter pads. We can draw that in AutoCAD. It'll paint out that square. We can work off of that. So you're not out trying to square things up. It'll already draw it in. The reason we're coming to you, we have the money from auction money to purchase this. This is a lease. We chose to go with a lease option or recommending to versus the purchase. So it's a yearly expense that we have to budget in. We got $1,000 off if we do it this year. It was $17,700. They're giving it to us for $16,700. If it is approved, it'd be almost 2 weeks to get it. So we could possibly get the unit before the soccer season, help us on labor and expenses. And then I don't know if you got to see the video, but it's pretty unique way to do things. And it seems to be the norm for school districts. And Tri-Cities Park Systems has several of them.
I talked to Greg Fultz, and I'm sure I know you did too, and just wanted to see his take on it. This one's a little, it does logos and stuff where his doesn't, mm-hmm. which is, I think, is a nice feature. He says, yeah, it does it for you, but he has his guys picking up garbage and stuff like that, but you still got to watch it a little bit, and especially if there's kids around. But you can do other things while it's out there doing that. So I think it's a good thing, and it'll help out a lot.
I saw this on the agenda too, and I talked to my son's friend who was a seasonal worker for you guys last year, and he said, yeah, it took two guys all day long just laying out the soccer fields, and they could have been doing a lot of other things. And, you know, we could have a machine that, you know, you'd have to keep an eye on it, but that it would do that labor and be able to put our people to work in other places and save that money on that labor. I think that's a good idea.
No, that was one other thing. I talked to Greg about the paint, and he said the same thing, kind of like you did, that they're way up there, or beforehand, before they got it, they would spend $7,000-$8,000 or more a year on paint. And he said this one's been a lot cheaper than
the other stuff. Provide the paint
it's
included.
That's so all the paint that you would need is included in that $16,000 or $17,000.
$1,000. $3,000, but theirs goes way far. Their $3,000 would be about what we're spending right now in paint, or a little more.
Yeah, the stuff they're using now is a lot more expensive.
Because I spent quite a bit of time on the computer looking at this today. I couldn't find any reviews online other than what the company themselves provide on their website. Well, shockingly enough, they have only good reviews on their website. Shocker. But I did find some YouTube videos, and I found there's not very many of those either, other than what's provided out by the company. I did find one company, it's Cut Crew LTD.
They put two videos out. The first one they put out, I'm assuming when they first got the machine, and it was all basically a sales video. And they put out another video a year after they'd had the machine, and they didn't have a whole lot good to say about it. You know, one of the things they did is they painted the soccer field, and they had one of their employees paint half the soccer field, and they had the machine paint the other half of the soccer field. Well, it took the employee 12 minutes to paint it. It took the machine 17 minutes to paint it, on top of another 15 minutes to set it up. And you still got to have an employee there watching that machine. You know, so you're not, if you're gaining one guy, if it takes you two guys to paint lines now, you're still going to take you one guy to watch that machine. And you're not running $17,000 worth of employment time on that machine.
It's going to pay way more for your labor. We're spending a lot more on labor than 17,000.
But the kind of catcher on it is, you said they're going to pay for the paint. So that's a pretty big deal. You know, that takes half.
And I would say that it'll cover their amount of paint will cover what we're spending. It's a cheap different paint, yeah. And I don't know how anybody can paint half a soccer field in 15 minutes, especially
not a whole lot of lines on a soccer field.
There's
a circle, I'd have a hard two circles on the end and a couple squares. I sat there and I watched the whole video. I watched the entire video. It's a 17-minute video. And he didn't really have anything bad to say about it, but it wasn't good what he had to say. It was kind of completely different than his first video. And is the price going up next year to the 17.7? We're just going to get that discount this year?
No, that's a 5-year, I think,
that's five contract,
or 6-year contract.
But it'll be 15. It's just the first year is 16.7.
Yes.
15 year. So that 3,000. $3,000 paint allotment. What does that cover, Kurt? I mean, how much ground is that going to cover? Is that a season, couple seasons? Do you have an idea?
Be one season. It's approximately the same footage that we've got a year in our $7,000 to $8,000 in paint. It's comparable.
What are the schools doing right now for their field?
They have one of these, an older unit. They've had it for a couple of years.
Okay.
You like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that who you talked to?
It was like $80,000, but we have to maintain it. We have to buy the paint. With this, they're servicing it. There's parts already provided with it. There's paint. The school district is leasing theirs. The school district and the city of Moles Lake is leasing theirs. When your contract's up, you get a new piece of equipment back in. So you don't own the old 6-year-old one. You get a new one. So there are a lot of benefits as far as maintaining and, mm-hmm. and servicing it.
We'll keep you updated. It's good. Does it have the capability of doing the youth soccer fields?
Yes. We can. It has a bunch of base sports fields in there. We can add sports fields, different sizes in there. They'll do two logos up front. They'll actually digitize them and everything and put them in there for you.
When we do the youth soccer down at CBHA on that land they provided to us, do we do the striping on that?
We have.
So we'll be taking this down there and doing that.
Set up a unit down there.
And we're doing a full-size field on Lions Park and a full-size field down at Tagaris Park.
Tagaris has one full-size and up to 6 additional smaller size.
Okay.
So it gets... that's where it takes 2 days to paint all those.
Okay. So it's going to get a workout every year. And then,
yes, it will get a workout.
And then keeping up with it and maintaining it after, you know, the weather and the mowing and all that other stuff. Okay. So it'll be used a lot. All right. So do I hear a motion to accept the contract with Turf Tech as presented as the attachment for $16,700 for the first year and then $15,000 after?
$15,000. And that's a five-year contract.
I think it's a six-year.
Six years. So the first year is 16.7, and then the next 5 years are 15.
And that's $3,000, $3,000 worth of paint every year.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah, it is every year.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear a motion.
I'll make the motion for council to accept the contract from Turf Tank as presented as attachment of $16,700.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Well, it must have beaten me to the punch here.
On to item E, the 2024 budget process and council budget committees. Spencer.
Yeah, thank you very much. As you know, we're starting to get towards the end of the year. We're starting to get into budget season. And tonight I wanted to introduce the topic, and I had two main things for you to focus on. The first is I just wanted to give you the broad strokes of the budget this year, what we're going to be doing in different months. And you can see up here on the board, July and September, this is where we've already started this part. We're working with department heads and we're getting estimates on our current year budgets, where we think we're going to end up for the 23 year. And then we're putting in proposals for the 24 year. After that, the last week in September and the first couple of weeks of October, that's where we're going to be meeting with the council budget committee meetings. And we're going to cut the budget up into a bunch of different sections and hit it a piece at a time. And we'll just start looking through all the lines. And you'll have some history so we can have some discussion about the expense lines there. And then the plan is then in November, we'll put all of those conversations together and start looking at the budget as one big document, and then hopefully pass the budget in the first meeting or second meeting of our of December. So that's what the budget process, as far as timeline, will look like. I wanted to introduce one other thing: our budget committee meetings. I put together a tentative schedule here, and this is not intended for decisions tonight, but I want you to take a look at this and look at your schedules and your interests. The budget committee meetings that are here on the board they don't have to line up with whatever committee you happen to serve or don't serve on throughout the year. This can be totally separate. But take a look at the meeting, the dates, and things are flexible in here. We can move topics around on different days. We can move things around a little bit. Just right off the bat, I know one change that we're going to need to make is with our first meeting here, we still have John Erickson listed here. So we'll need a change there. But other than that, take a look and we'll hit this topic again at...
and also...
Yeah. The third one too.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's on that.
So, do we want to make the changes to those committees right now tonight?
You can if you want, but there's no need to do that. There's no need to do that. We still have plenty of time. We could.
Well, we've already had a law enforcement committee meeting, and we did it with two council members, and we couldn't think of who the alternate was for that committee. So I think we should do something tonight to fill those committees. So is there anybody that would like to take John's place in general government? Renee and Gina are already there. Mm-hmm. And if nobody else wants it, I'll take it.
I'll take law enforcement.
You will?
And Angel there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Angel.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so I have those two names. We can still, I would still say, take this back, look at your schedules, and at our next meeting, we can just confirm that, yeah, we're good to go moving forward. And that's that.
These are all at noon too, with lunch provided. You get to choose what lunch you want. Yeah.
As long as it's a Subway or
tacos. Okay, that's it for our current business. Is there any unfinished business that needs to come before the council? Any?
Yes. If you could find out on traffic calming devices, we had put 60,000 or 65,000 in the budget. And I know Sean O'Brien was wanting to take some out for set up at the park or something. But 4th Street, still the same. People are going really fast on there.
And with school coming up, it's going to get worse. Yeah. That's lunchtime. Horrible. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about like speed humps or something like that. And I don't see how they could be that expensive. I mean, cut some asphalt out and hump it up. And
well, we just put one down there at Lions Park.
Yeah.
So we know what the expense would be.
Yep. And that was a raised sidewalk.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we've been talking about 4th for the longest time. I think we kind of do something already about that traffic there.
All right, so that sounds great. Let's
it's in the budget, it needs done.
So let's get something put together. Can you talk to?
It'd be Sean, wouldn't it?
Yeah, can you talk to Sean and ask Sean to put together some costs and ideas, and bring them to the council for the next meeting?
But yeah, like that sidewalk, that's. Just something like that.
That thing's great.
Well, it's got to go
that,
to a
that raised sidewalk down there. That thing's great.
Yeah.
But it's got to go to a sidewalk that already exists. So,
well,
the city actually had to put sidewalks in to match up to that.
No, it just needs to be a speed hump, but yeah. Just like that.
Yeah. That might be what we're in at an intersection.
Well,
an intersection or a mid block.
There's no intersection. Sidewalk. That's the problem, but mid-block is, or, I mean, it might need a couple, two, three in there or something. I don't know.
It's good. Let's get that task by staff for next meeting. Any new business before the council tonight? Okay. Hearing none. Looks like they want to cancel the September 5th meeting. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Why? What's September 5th?
Labor Day. Because of the Labor Day holiday. And it would throw it out till Tuesday. So,
so it's a holiday on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
So normally we move those to Tuesday. So we're just going to cancel it instead.
There must not be a lot that's on the agenda.
Well, we just brought one item up tonight that we want. We could have the public hearing too.
Notifications has to go out for that.
Yeah.
Stand outside in the front yard and yell.
Oh, the town crier. That's what we need is a town crier.
All right. So the September 5th meeting will be canceled.
Yes.
I'd like to adjourn this meeting at 7:01 p.m.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Night, Angel.